Farmer Augustus, and then our pledge will be directed by one of our scouts named Alice Walburn. So.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful to gather this evening as friends, neighbors, associates, and leaders of Cedar Hills. We ask thee that thou will please bless us, that we'll be able to keep open minds and open hearts as we go through the business of the city, that we'll be able to do the things that are best for our community and be able to have the foresight to help lead and guide our community. We thank thee for the beautiful area in which we're able to live and all those things that are around us. And we ask for those blessings on us and those here. And we say these things in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Alex?
Right here, the microphone.
I'm on the microphone.
Will the audience please rise and say the pledge with me? Ready to begin.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Alex. We always appreciate it when we have a scout here who is ready and willing to lead us in the pledge, so thank you very much. First thing we have to do is approve tonight's agenda. So if council's had a chance to take a look at the agenda, if you'd like to accept as is or make amendments, I'll take that now.
I move that we accept the agenda as is.
Okay, is there a second?
I second that.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Let's move on to public comments. And so public comments is where we allow residents to come and speak about whatever they want to speak about and have 3 minutes in which to do that. And then we usually give up to 30 minutes in order to accomplish that. I only have one person that is signed up to speak in public comments this evening, Adrian Juschow. So Adrian, if you'd like to come up, state your name and address, and then you've got 3 minutes.
So we do that before hearing the agenda item, is that right?
I think he signed up for the item.
I didn't get it. I'm sorry. For the neighborhood.
He wants to talk.
You did. You want to speak on the development.
Okay. Should we wait for that?
And in that case, let's have you wait.
That'd be great. Thanks.
And then we'll have you come back up at that point. We do have a public hearing this evening. And so this is for the Lakeview Trail subdivision, located approximately 10100 Canyon Road in the H1 Hillside Zone. Is anyone here that has come to speak for the public hearing time on this issue? Okay. I've got two people. Is that correct?
Well, we're one.
So come on up. And
now?
And Mayor,
want to hear what they have to say first.
Yeah.
So you don't want to speak during the public hearing. You want to speak when we talk about the development?
Yes.
Right.
Very good.
Mayor, can I ask just a point of order question? I believe public comment, even on the agenda items, has to come before council discusses. Isn't that correct?
It on our agenda tonight, the public hearing does come before the consent agenda and everything else.
So, Courtney, David, are we supposed to do that before council discussion?
Yes, you should hear the public. You should hold the public hearing and hear the comments made in public hearing during the public hearing time period. At this point, if there are more questions or comments, you can allow that. And I believe Adrian wanted to be on that portion of it. Is that right?
It is. I kind of was hoping to maybe hear things first and then ask questions. But if that's not appropriate, then we'll go the other way. That's fine.
I don't know if it matters. I just want to make sure that if we're supposed to be following public hearing guidelines, we do it right.
I don't think it matters that much. Let me kind of give you the difference, if you will. There is some subtle differences. In public comments, you've got 3 minutes to come and state your piece on whatever you want to talk about. In public hearing, we're talking specifically about an item, but you're not limited to 3 minutes. And so so if someone felt like they had more to say than 3 minutes, I would suggest come up now and speak on that. If not, it sounds as if you're going to be talking about the same thing as an item that's on the agenda. So do you want to wait till that agenda item comes up? Nobody wants to speak for public hearing? Okay? Everyone's good with that? That's the case. Then I will close the public hearing on this item, and we'll move on to the consent agenda. And we have minutes from one meeting, which is January the 20th, 2015. It's a city council meeting. So someone want to make a motion on those minutes?
Quick question on that. I had sent an email to the council and to David and Colleen making two changes to the minutes. Did you get those, David?
Yes, and I talked to Colleen about that, and she also received those.
Okay.
So if the council approves the consent agenda, it would include the changes that you sent to her.
Okay. So with that, I would move that we accept the minutes from the January 20th, 2015 City Council meeting with the changes I had emailed to the council and City Recorder.
Okay, I have a motion on the minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Let's move on to our city business. And so starting from my left, your right, Mr. Bunker, we'll start with you and then go down the table.
Great. Just have some updates on some activities here in the city. The ski bus is now off and running, and we have 61 participants this year, which is the most we've had in quite some time. And so they have the next two Saturdays on that ski bus, and then they'll wrap it up after that. The golf course being closed has kind of hurt us because we have had such good weather. And there are other courses that are open, and so it's been tough on us. We're going to meet with Questar tomorrow to talk about getting the golf cart paths repoured as soon as possible. So trying to get that up and running. Indoor golf lessons are going really well for this month. There are some March classes open for registration, but they're filling up as well. So if you're interested in indoor golf, please get a hold of Greg Gordon in the Recreation Department. Our Cedar Hills Jazz game is next Monday night, and it's the Jazz versus the Spurs. And we have tickets available at the city office for $15, and that includes hot dog drink and chips. No chips? They took the chips away. Oh, goodness. Hot dog and drink.
That's still good. It's still worth it.
So bring your families to that. We still have several tickets available, and they're at the city office. So please come by and get those. I will have a Timpanogos Special Service District meeting this Thursday and report on that next council.
Mr. Zapala.
Our Lone Peak Public Safety meeting was rescheduled from this Thursday to the following Thursday, so I'll have a report on that when that happens. In the meantime, I'm keeping myself busy with tech. I do have a couple of students, now up to three students, that are working on a project for the city for me. This is an app that will let us have residents report things that are wrong in the city and then receive feedback from city staff when those issues are addressed. And I have a student who's working on a web application for that, and I have a new student who's now going to build an iPhone app for that. So we'll see how well that comes along in the next couple months.
Thank you. Mrs. Reese.
The Planning Commission meets next week. We haven't met since the last council meeting, but as you know, they approved the preliminary plans for the Lakeview Trails, and we'll discuss that more tonight. We had one press release issued on the voting by mail, and it was picked up by two media outlets. The Finance Committee met briefly last week, and we discussed the Capital Projects Fenn and Motor Pool Fund, which we discussed during work session, and we'll do so again tonight. Filing Festival Committee is meeting next week. And then the Arts Committee met last week, and they're putting together a list of plans for fiscal year 2016, which will be presented to the council. But some of the things that they're working on include they're working with Highland City on a musical that will be performed this summer at our Heritage Park Amphitheater. They're continuing to work with the summer concert series, but we'll have three shows instead of four. They're planning an art show / gallery during the week of Family Festival, and they're also discussing a dance / date night for adults in September, and they'll do some further research on that.
Okay, thank you. As mentioned, we've got a Lone Peak Public Safety Board meeting on Thursday. I'll be attending that report back. I was particularly happy with the turnout for last week's emergency preparedness town hall meeting for our city. Great information. This is, I think, our third year of doing this. One of the most important things I think we do every year. So thanks for those who turned out, and a special thanks for the staff for helping to get that organized and the successful outcome we had. So I think that's it for me. So, Mr. Geddes.
The assignment I have for the dispatch, I had an emergency come up on the day of that meeting, so I did speak with the lady that runs it, and we talked through the agenda, but there's nothing really to report, so I'll fill you in more the next time I attend that meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Augustus.
Yeah, North Point hasn't met since our last council meeting, and General Planning Committee, same thing, hasn't met since our last meeting.
Okay. Mr. Crawley.
Emergency preparedness and finance are my categories, and they've been aptly reported on already, so we're good.
Okay. Thank you very much. Go back to my agenda. Okay, let's move on to our scheduled items. First one is item number 8, which is an action item on awarding a contract for the Recreation Center concessions. And Mr. Gordon, you are presenting. At least it says you are. You have a surprised look on your face.
So we're just following up, I assume, from the last meeting, and we went over a lot of the details in the work session with some of the language, and we're just presenting it for your approval at this time. Any questions?
You guys have any questions?
I think we talked a lot about this during work session. I personally would like to maybe get a bulleted list of all of those changes that we discussed making, because there were a lot of changes that we discussed making.
Would you like me to read them off to you? Because I didn't read the list.
Sure.
Council
yes,
members,
please.
Paula has them. Okay. So here are some things we discussed, and we may not necessarily agree to make all these changes, but these are the points that we talked about. Point number one was there was some discussion of whether we should put a maximum cap on the total amount owed to the city per month. We talked about that cap being $1,400 or $1,500 per month. Item number two was that the people making this contract with us, Vista Point, would like to have a longer-term contract, so they would like to have a 3-year renewal instead of a yearly renewal. Item number three is the tenant would like to have the option of using a different alarm company with the stipulation that if they do decide to use an alternate alarm system, that they will give the city access to it. Point number four is that they would like some language added stipulating that the city shall not unnecessarily withhold any licenses or permits that they need to operate. I don't think we're in a position to give any licenses or permits, but I think that language is there just to protect them. Point number five is they would like the clause that talks about termination due to officers, employees, and agents to just say officers or agents. And then point number six is something we raised ourselves, which is we talked about specifying benefits that the tenant gets with respect to the city celebration. And the language we talked about putting in there as a suggestion from Keith Irwin is that they shall receive all the benefits of a $500 sponsor plus space for a vendor booth.
Thank you.
I've got a question. So them changing to a 3-year renewal, does that affect our ability at all to cancel on each yearly basis if we choose to? Because we did make that change to the contract allowing us to cancel yearly if it's to our benefit as a city. Can anyone give us some enlightenment on that question?
So there is a clause that says termination for convenience. It says city and tenant may, at their exclusive option, terminate this agreement for convenience by providing notice to the other party no less than 60 days prior to the end of the lease term.
And then it defined lease term earlier in the contract as a yearly lease term. If we change that to be a 3-year lease term, then I would not be in favor of it.
Because this is no less than 60 days, so you can
right,
certainly give
the
them notice
the lease term.
Longer than 60 days prior to the end of the lease term.
Right. But the lease term was defined as a 1-year lease term. I'm wondering if this 3-year renewal will make it so that it doesn't have a yearly lease term. Does anyone know? David, do you know on that one?
Well, let's imagine the lease term was 3 years.
Okay.
The notice says no less than 60 days. prior to it doesn't say we can't give them notice more than 60 days. So that could
be
2 years or 3 years ahead of that lease term, so which gives us an out.
Lease term is still a yearly lease term then, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying there's an out that we can break the contract anytime.
Well, the lease term, if it says within 60 days of the lease term and it's a 3 year lease term, we can
only
cancel.
At least 60 days, it can be more.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Crawley, can I ask you to speak directly into your mic? These are directional mics, and if you're talking to the side,
yes, I can
it's
do
hard
it.
To hear.
But you have to talk directly into it.
Okay. So what you're saying is that will not stop us from being able to cancel each year if we chose to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because a year is 365 days, and that's more than 60.
Okay. Are you good?
I am still fuzzy because the way it was worded, it said we could cancel 60 as long as it says we could cancel at the end of each lease term as long as we give 60 days, at least 60 days notice prior to the lease term. But it didn't say you can cancel within 60 days anytime. It said we can cancel within 60 days of the end of the lease term, which if we then define a lease term as 3 years, then that would mean that, yeah, we can say we want to cancel at the end of the lease term anytime, but it doesn't cancel till the end of that lease term, the way it was written before, I believe. David, can you tell me if I'm up on the right on this?
I think I'm understanding your question. The lease term is still 1 year,
okay,
according to the contract.
Okay.
So this language probably would need to say lease term plus any extensions, right? Because if we let them go longer than that, then if we have a contract for longer than one lease term, if it's a 3 year, then it probably should include the lease term plus any extension.
Okay.
So
let me see if I still have a year lease term.
Yeah. Let me see if I can clarify this a little bit, because it does seem like it is a 1 year lease term, because up in the recitals or definitions at the beginning, it says lease term, the term of the lease shall commence annually on January 1st and shall continue through December 31st of the current calendar year. So to me, that would say anywhere within that calendar year, we can give them at least a 60 day notice to terminate at the end of the year, and then the lease would terminate December 31st.
That's what I read it to. Okay. I just wanted to make sure if we do what they said, which is that they want to have a 3 year lease term, that doesn't change the yearly term of a year that we can cancel every year. That's all I want to make sure is.
But I think lease term and renewal are two different things. The lease term is yearly, the renewal would be 3 years.
2 years. That makes sense. Okay.
Pretty good explanation.
Is that right?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Daniel or Jenny, you have anything from my left side?
You got my change that we need to change the date on that contract. It says 2013. Okay. So my only recommendation is that one that came from our family festival chair on making specific what their benefits are in number item number 12 as part of the family festival, instead of saying et cetera.
Are you going to work that into a motion or to whoever it is?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions?
I think my main question on this end is just what do we want this maximum monthly payment to be?
I wasn't here for that conversation, so I'd like to make a comment. I don't think there should be a maximum. That is because I believe that their success will come from a lot of the support from the city council, the city residents, the city employees, and I'd like to personally promote whoever is in there with the idea that the city will benefit as they benefit. So I don't think there should be a cap, personally.
I think, Daniel, you need to give your, since Rob missed that, I'd like to have him hear your
I'll add to that. I think that was a very lively discussion, and I think it was definitely something that we didn't discuss a lot on the committee, and I thought it was a very good point. And I will second, I think that it was made in the work session. We want this to be a lasting relationship that they stick around for years, so we want to work together from a partnership standpoint.
Okay, so I guess I'll repeat some things I said earlier, which is right now the way the contract is written, it's written so that we get 5% of gross sales. That's not gross profit, that's gross sales.
Right.
So as their sales increase, so also do their costs. My worry is we're basically saying we take a 5% chunk no matter what. Good luck trying to be profitable. That turns out to look a lot like a 5% sales tax to me, directed solely at this one business, telling them, because you're here on our premises, we're going to have a 5% sales tax on all of your receipts.
I'm uncomfortable with that because it might make it so that they struggle to succeed.
But on the other hand, it would be $2,000 plus, I think, to rent a space this nice, at least, if it was anywhere else besides, you know, on our property. And so it is somewhat of a partnership that we don't get paid what it normally would be worth on a bad month, which will help them survive, yet on a good month we can exceed that $2,000. And so I think we already are kind of in a partnership agreement, but I think that we should have an upside on it.
Yeah, so this is the discussion we were having is to, and the tenants expressed an interest through our city manager that they, because there's a minimum, that they have to pay us at least $1,280, that for cost certainty for their business, they'd like to see a maximum so they know, okay, this is our maximum outlay of costs going into it so we can make a solid business plan and a way to make a profit.
And from a business perspective, there's a good chunk of costs that are fixed costs for any business. So as you get to those higher amounts, then I would guess that 30-40% falls to the bottom line for once you get above a certain threshold. And so the 5%, I think, is fair, personally, sharing it, because once you hit those amounts, it's not like the higher you get, you're not making, you know, you're not losing it all in variable costs. It's a lot of fixed costs up front for business. Anyway.
So one of the points that I brought up is this $1,280 a month that we say is our minimum we have to collect in our contract. That was based upon an analysis that our finance director had done, and that includes the utilities for the facility. It includes cleaning supplies. It includes depreciation of the building. It includes maintenance of the building. It includes accruing for appliances, for plumbing, for furniture, for walls, for flooring, for lighting maintenance. And so that $1,280 is already accruing for those repairs and maintenance and upgrades that the facility is going to need because of the wear and tear and the facility. And so we don't charge any of our other vendors who rent, whether it's celebration performers or the karate class, a percentage of their sales in addition to rent. We just calculated the same things into their hourly rent of whatever that is to include the maintenance and the utilities. Mm-hmm. So I like having it consistent across how we treat everybody who rents the facility. And then we talked about how there was this view that if they're having to pay us a percentage of their sales, then they're going to be incentivized to make more profit. My view was that they're incentivized to make profit because they get to keep that profit, not because they're paying the government 5% of their sales. But I'm not a big fan of paying more to the government.
So one of the things we talked about during work session was also whether this is a vendor-landlord relationship or if this is more of a partnership going forward. In my personal view, it would be more of a partnership because we're also going to be pushing business to them. So we're going to be taking catering events, anybody that wants to have a venue here that has food, we would also be recommending them as a caterer.
Correct.
So we're also giving them business, I mean a lot of business, where with other caterers that come in, they're paying us 10%. So in essence, we're giving VistaPoint a discount at 5% and we're still pushing that business to them. So we'd also be doing things for them, whether they want to do events here, if they want to have a monthly concert. I mean, there's a bunch of different things that they can do here where we would be sharing in the marketing with them, where we would be promoting them, they would be promoting us. So I guess we've got to look at it and say, okay, are we doing this as a partnership, which I think is a benefit to our residents, or are we doing this as a straight landlord-tenant venture?
And I don't disagree with that. I think my preference would be that we look at it this from two different angles. Then we have a flat rate for the grill, which covers our expenses for the grill, and then have a separate percentage
on the catering.
And that way we're treating all of our catering vendors the same, and we're treating all of our people who rent the facility the same.
So are you saying that instead of charging 5% for catering for VistaPoint, change it to 10% to be consistent with all other caterers, and then don't take any percentage of the grill concessions? Is that what you're saying?
That would be my recommendation.
Well, I'm kind of torn because, I mean, I'm a capitalist as well, and I think it incentivizes them to, you know, be successful. And number one, I want to point out, I mean, my vote here is that they are successful. I hope they're here for 9, 10, 20 years. And I hope it's a terrific facility that the community can come here and get a good meal at a good price, with great ambiance. Mm-hmm. So having said that, I do feel like it is still like a partnership, though, with us. I mean, this is the city facility. I don't want to make a, I don't want to tax them either. I don't think they should be taxed unfairly. So I'm kind of inclined to let the first 3 years go, or at least the first year, because it is technically a year. But I think they're going to need at least a year or two to get a feel for what it's going to, what they're going to bring and generate. So, you know, I have no problem giving them like the 5% with a cap for the first few years. I really don't. I think that incentivizes them to still do good, provide a good service, and help this facility bring people to it.
Just on catering or on catering and grill?
I don't really care. I think it should be just 5% across the board. I think it's too, I don't want to get in their books.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'd be a lot easier to just keep it simple.
So part of that partnership also is that our golf course would be driving a lot of business to the grill. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's our hope, is that we would be pushing a lot of business to them. So is it fair for our golf course people to keep saying, hey, you need to go check out the grill, you need to go here, they've got great food over here, if we're not doing it as a partnership?
Well, that doesn't cost us any money. I mean, that's, if our golfers are spreading information word of mouth, that's not hurting the city in any way. It's not, we're not expending any funds asking golfers to recommend the facility.
Right, but if we're doing advertising and we're creating new golf scorecards and putting Vista Point on it and stuff like that, I mean,
are we doing that?
It's a possibility. I mean, if we're driving a lot of business to them, I mean, it would make sense if we're doing this as a partnership that we do share a small portion of that, because we are pushing a lot of business to them.
Well, I understand their concern, which is they'd like to have some kind of consistency in knowing what to budget for. And also, if we're going to require a minimum, I understand why they'd want to require a max on that, especially, like I said, since it's not really, it's not costing the city anything to have golfers here. Our golfers are already here.
Right.
So we don't charge a premium to celebration performers because our golfers are here and they might see that sign here. We don't charge them a percentage ourselves for that.
The cap would be high, it should be high enough that it shouldn't even be an issue until they're making money hand over fist. I mean, really, once they start making that type of sales that they hit the cap, then 30% or so additional will probably go to their bottom line. I don't think 5% of their 30% is excessive, even no matter how much they make. I think if we work together as a team to make this thing make a lot of money, then 5% doesn't bother me to take from their sales once it gets into those dollar amounts. So I'm still in favor of just making it simple, 5% period, no cap. So that's where I'm at.
So my thoughts are very much the same as what I said in work session, which is that I want this to be a long-term relationship. I want them to be really successful. And years and years and years. And I don't want to, you know, have an onerous relationship that makes it difficult at all. So I go back to what I learned during the interview process, that Sleepy Ridge has an arrangement that we talked with Vista Point about, very similar, which is there's a monthly amount, a monthly fixed amount, and there was a percentage of grill sales, and Vista Point seemed okay with that. And so as long as that minimum amount to meet our expenses is met, I don't care whether that's done in 1 month or 12 months. So.
Well, I don't think the Vista people have a problem with the 5%. Do they, David?
They're here, so I'd like to ask. Oh. And so I, Brooke, if you don't mind, I know that when we met with you and Eric, that we had suggested a lower monthly amount than what you guys originally proposed, and then a percentage of the grill concessions. And so I thought, Erica, you guys were fine with that. Are you guys okay with that?
We are. We just want it to be one or the other. We want to feel like it's either a low monthly rate, rent, and a percentage up to a certain amount, or it's sorry. Or you get a percentage, but we just don't want to feel like we're being taken advantage of. Because we want to make this work, and we want it successful for everyone, and so.
Okay.
So, Brooke, if I understand what you're saying is you're fine with the 5% if the rent's $600 a month?
Yes.
That speaks volumes, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's the issue, is that our costs are $1,280, which includes the depreciation, the maintenance, and everything. So my preference would be that we guarantee the $1,280, because then we make sure that we're covering our costs. If we had $600 and 5% of sales, and that comes out to $1,000 a month, then the residents of Cedar Hills are now subsidizing that business.
But we also would do a capped rent, but no percentage.
Right. No, that's so, what I'm saying. Yeah. Is I think we have, if you're going to do one or the other, then yeah, to me it makes more sense to do the capped rent.
I think if that's the case, I would agree with that. I would cap it at $1,400 or $1,500 something. I mean, we don't want to, I still say we're a partnership, and we don't want to make up a lot of money on you guys, but because we want you to provide a good service at reasonable prices for our residents. So don't want you to have to raise your prices to cover the overhead net that's going to be created. So,
and that's important to us, is that we are offering a good value that will drive residents to come.
I mean,
to us.
I'm inclined to say to agree with Jenny there on that. It's just come up with a cap.
So, Brooke, did your group have an opportunity to take a look at the contract that the council is looking at tonight?
Yes.
And there was a part of that that dealt with what our minimum amount we need on an annualized basis. And so, were you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now you guys have just got to decide what it looks like.
But I want to clarify, you're comfortable with that as long as there's a cap on the maximum amount.
Right.
Not just an unlimited amount.
Right.
That's where I think that the disconnect was.
Okay.
And that be analyzed on a yearly basis? Is that when that gets paid? Is that what you were thinking?
So it's a 3-year. If the contract's going to be 3 years, then
no, but say, but you can't negotiate. You can't let it roll for three years, and then all of a sudden,
no, the contract
says
per month.
It said $15,360 per year has to be paid by.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. No, I read it.
Yes. Okay, I didn't get your
right. But right at the beginning in number 12, it says tenant shall pay rent monthly. So they would be paying it per month. They wouldn't be waiting until the very end of the year.
Yeah,
and
just not one, just not the above the minimum rent amount. They would not pay that until that's due at the end of the year.
Right.
So in item number 12, it says a minimum total payment of $15,360 shall be remitted annually to be received by the city on or before January 5th. So that way, if they paid $600 one month but $1,500 the next month, at the end of the year, we have to have received that full $15,360.
So we're reconciling at the end of the year, but yeah, not month by month.
Right. Which I'm fine with, because the winter months are harder.
Okay.
If the cap was at least $2,000, then I'd vote for it. But I don't think it's... I think that the cap needs to be at least $2,000.
David, in your notes, you had it listed. Did they say it wasn't a $1,480 was the cap?
The cap at $1,400 would equate to $16,800.
Oh, so they asked for a cap of
$1,400.
Okay.
That's what they had put in their pro forma when they did their cost analysis. And so just to be clear, we did talk about a low monthly fee plus a percentage, but then when the discussion turned to have the city be guaranteed the $1,280 a month, they're okay with taking a risk. They're okay with assuming that they can make this work at the $600 a month plus 5% of sales. But once the city says, all right, we don't want to risk getting less than $1,280, that's when Vista Point is saying, well, we don't want to risk, if we're going to pay that base number and it takes all the risk out of it for the city, then there needs to be a cap. And so that's, you know, that's where this discussion has kind of gone from, the having a base and a cap.
So I guess I have a question for Rob then. Since you're in favor of not having a cap, are you okay with there not being a floor? Are you okay with a $600 per month rent with 5% sales, period?
No.
No? Did you say no?
No.
Is there anybody in the council who's okay with that? Not having a floor and not having a cap?
I don't think so, because then we take the risk of losing money, which then tax dollars subsidize, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But if there's a cap, I think it should at least...
Yeah, so then it's just a question of
the effort to make it successful.
Then how do you come up with that? Just arbitrary?
It's kind of arbitrary. I would think that if they're being that successful, I think $2,000 rent is not unreasonable for a restaurant to pay.
So
I'm just curious how you base that on. Have you gone out looking for rental property as a restaurant owner?
I'm
just asking. I don't know either. I haven't either. So
I've owned a lot of businesses, but I haven't owned a restaurant business. But I would think that $2,000 is pretty reasonable. That's my guess. My gut feel. I don't know. Do you know?
Here's my gut feel on that. Is that Sammy's never made that once. So
here, can I add to that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I ran restaurants for a long time.
Yeah.
I think that is very high,
okay,
given our location.
Okay.
It's not like we're off the beaten road. You know, we are. Right. It's a destination area, mm-hmm, and it's going to take some work on their end to get the marketing going up. Their business plan is fantastic.
Right.
And they're going to be able to do that. I think $2,000, to be brutally honest, is extremely high.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying you think it's high given the location, but most of the time I would bet that restaurants pay at least that much, I would guess.
Oh, I'm sure they do, but they also have a heck of a bigger floor plan. You know, mm-hmm, I mean, their the ability they have for tables in there, mm-hmm, is minimized versus a regular restaurant. I mean, it's a limited space. If you're going off of square footage,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be hard.
And the location and just the drive-by traffic. I mean,
right,
most restaurants have traffic that drives by every single hour.
Well, $400, that's only $1,200 or $120 a month, you know, additional. That doesn't seem like much of a partnership when we're letting them pay down to $600 a month,
right,
on a bad month. You know, they make it up later, but that helps the cash flow, helps them get by for the short term while they're having bad months. So it just seems like $120 is just a very small amount to cap it at. Well, $120 a month more than the base rent. And if we're just covering costs.
But it's not. So our costs are just $880. The $1,280 includes accruing for all of the replacement of appliances, plumbing, furniture, walls, flooring, lightning maintenance, and building
depreciation. That's a real cost of a normal rent, though. Mm-hmm. That is a real cost.
Right. Yeah. And so what I'm saying is, if you're worried about the repairs and stuff, we're already including that in their monthly rent.
Right. I'm just saying, if things are good for them, we should be sharing in that. Because I think it's going to take us to help them make it successful. I think that what we can add as a city to help them be successful will help them survive.
Are there costs that you think that we're going to incur in that we need to be accounting for?
No, but I think we're charging. Who charges it straight cost? Does anyone charge straight cost?
But
anyone out there?
But we're not a business. We're the government. So we shouldn't be operating like we're a business. So that's where
that's
I think we look at things differently.
But we are operating like a business, but we're trying to say, but we're not going to charge any profits. We're just going to do it straight cost.
Well, we're not operating it. They are. We're
right.
Just,
well, renting a space is
right.
Acting like a business. And, you know, there's arguments say that we should never have gotten to this point in the first place, which I would probably agree with. But we are in the situation where we are leasing a space as if we're a rental business, and who rents out space without some sort of profit worked into it? So I think it should be higher than $1,400. That's my opinion, if there is a cap.
Okay. I think that we're kind of going around in circles a little bit, and I've always thought the best way to resolve that is to somebody make a motion and vote. So
I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
First of all, I need to see the wording on this motion that we have here for the contract. So let me pull that up. All right. That's the wrong one. All right, so I move that we approve a concessions contract agreement with Vista Point LLC, subject to legal review, and with the following modifications. Number one, that where the contract talks about being a sponsor of a family festival, that it be changed instead of the words et cetera to say that the tenant shall receive all the benefits of a $500 sponsor plus space for a vendor booth. To change the contract language where it talks about termination for cause to say officers or agents and striking the word employees. To add the clause suggested by the tenant indicating that the city shall not unnecessarily withhold licenses or permits. To modify the contract to state that the tenant may use a different alarm company, but if they do, then they will give the city access to that system. To change the contract to indicate that it will be a three-year renewal period instead of a yearly renewal period. And put a maximum cap on the total amount paid to the city per month of $1,500.
Second.
I have a motion that's been seconded. Any further discussion?
Can I?
Yeah, that's, if you just have more to say, go.
I don't know if you've weighed in on 1,500. That you came up with 1,400 originally, is that correct?
Right.
It's a two-way street. I mean, would you accept 1,500?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and talk to the other people involved. But right. I'm...
Well, we've got a motion that has been seconded. And so did you want to discuss more with the council?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Let's have a vote then. Mr. Sapala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Gustas.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Nay.
Thank you very much. Motion passes. Congratulations. Moving on, item number 9. Review action item on preliminary plans for Lakeview Trail Subdivision. And Mr. Geddes, if you're comfortable, you can go up there. You can stay here. And then Mr. Bunker, I think you're presenting.
Just for the record, I just want to state that I am financially involved in this project, so I will not be voting. But I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor and Council, tonight we will be talking about the review recommendation for preliminary plans for Lakeview Trails Subdivision. It has received preliminary recommendation from the Planning Commission. This is a subdivision located in the H1 zone, just south of the city building. It is a planned residential development, so it will have a 20-acre minimum development parcel. There are a couple of issues that we talked about that the Planning Commission addressed, and then also that we've reviewed with the developer. And in addition to that, there's some engineering items which Mark Johnson with Mustang Development has been reviewing, so we can hear from him tonight. So you should have the plans, the geotech, and the stormwater reports. On the geotech report, I'd like to just cover just a few issues there. In the original geotech study, in the executive summary, there is a comment in there that says, based on our observations of this subdivision and the referenced geologic map, the potential of a mass movement appears to pose a risk to the property and the proposed development. The report does not go on further to address how that would be mitigated. So we do have a question on that and would like that to get addressed. We have consulted with TAP Geomechanical Engineering to do a review on the geotechnical study. And they are preparing their report and response. They had that concern right there in the initial geotech study, and then they are running some samples on the soil to test for the clay content and check the plastic and liquid limits. But so they just want the opportunity to finish up that study.
David, I'm sorry, which lots was that regarding?
That's the subdivision as a whole.
The whole subdivision, okay.
Yeah. So that's the geotechnical study. Mark, could we have you address the engineering items?
It
thank you, Dave. As Dave mentioned, I'm Mark Johnson with Mustang Design, and I was contracted to the city to review this as an independent eye on this, just to look for issues that in the drawing package that may have to be corrected, and also to look at things that may put the city at some potential risk, and just offer an advisory role as a consultant. And we've done this, and we've looked at this project a couple different times. Most recently, the last couple of nights, we went through the latest plans. Most of the items that we commented on, and we didn't finish that until this afternoon, and we sent that over to your city planner and Chandler, and Dave received a copy of this too. Most of these items are pretty simple items and just have to be. They're just drafting and engineering errors or omissions that just need to be corrected, and we feel that most of those can be dealt with pretty easily. I do know this firm that did the engineering have a very good relationship with them. I've been on the phone with them a little bit over this, and they agreed that some of these things would be changed. I think they've already made some of these changes. There are a couple of things that we were a little concerned about, and they came up before and they've come up again. And just to reiterate, there's some issues in regards to the geotechnical report, and my advice to Dave before is to have another look at this, have someone look at the report that EarthTech put together, because there's some statements in there that we feel potentially put the city a little bit at risk, and it would be good to have some advice and have a comment from another engineer as to particularly in regards to land movement up there. We feel that the geotech report kind of left things wide open. We felt it put the city to risk, the developer at risk, and future homeowners also at risk. And of course, if anything happens, homeowners, they don't pay attention to these reports. They do not understand what the geotech report means, nor would they be expected to. And to simply have that in their hands, if there is an event, an unfortunate event, it's still going to come. It's going to push down to the city and to the consultants that were involved. So, but I think that can be dealt with in the manner that David had suggested. There was also some issues on the preliminary storm water management plan. As I called it was a preliminary report. We think there's some final investigations that have to be done. We did notice in our review of that they used the wrong rainfall intensity chart, not the one that's specified by the city. Not a big change, but they should use the one by code, and so that was noted in our report. There's also a statement in there in the geotech report that we believe should be addressed on the drawing somewhere, and it has to do with the with fill material that is brought in, and it specifically states that if there's 3 feet of fill, there's a procedure that should happen. If there's 5 foot, if there's 10 foot, these are the procedures that should be followed. Just being in the geotech report, we felt that was not sufficient enough to protect the city, and so we think it's wise that this should exist on one of the plans and perhaps be in the development agreement. And I don't know if you have a development agreement. That's item number 10 in the list I gave you, but we just think that's good wisdom to include that. There was also an issue in regards to the proposed retaining wall and saturated soils in the sumps. As we looked at that, we found conflicting information on the elevation of these sumps, and we were not sure which information was right. We believe we know which was the most recent. There's some work that has to be done with those sumps for those to be effective, but we're more concerned with the potential of soil saturation in that area. And what we suggested there is, once again, that's something that we think that a structural engineer should probably look at, because those are going to have to be structurally designed, and let him turn out an independent report as to the impact that saturation may have on that structural wall, whether it would have an impact at all. That's not an area. We're not structural engineers. We don't do that. But I think most structural engineers would take that task on and be able to do that fairly effectively. There were some other issues, fairly minor. We believe that the utilities on site should extend to the property boundaries. Underground utilities aren't a lot different than surface utilities. When you do a subdivision plat, you're expected to run the sidewalk to the end of your subdivision. Same thing with utilities. You should run your underground utilities to the end of your subdivision and place a valve or an appropriate cap in there. So for future extension of those, it makes it easier, and there's not this conflict of what happens to that land or what happens to the work that needs to be performed in that road when a new developer comes in and starts to attack that. That leads to one other comment I had on the we were concerned because this development does leave at the end of Bay Hill Drive a lot or some property that will be left unimproved. And we did not suggest who should improve that, but it doesn't make sense to continue to leave that unimproved. So you have a section of sidewalk, a section vacant, and then you go into the new subdivision and it has improvements. I think the developer had made some suggestions on that. On the last note, probably one issue is we were concerned a little bit about the utilities. The easements in regards to sewer and storm drain, they are located in the common PUE. It is our advice to the city that you run specific easements for sewer and storm water that are 15 feet wide that will not be merged with other dry utilities or electrical utilities in the area. That's just for future maintenance. It makes a lot of sense. And all we'd ask for you to consider is that the letter that I had submitted to the city be included in your motion tonight. Thank you. The number one item on the list. There was an issue when we reevaluated how the density was calculated on this. There was an issue. Your code dictates that density is based in one of these types of developments based on net area, which is total area minus the streets. The calculation that was included in the packet given to us included the streets. It had that in the area. So those areas have to be taken out. That sheet will have to be recalculated. That will most likely have an impact on the total number of allowable lots. It's not going to be a large impact. It may only impact one lot, losing one lot. But that needs to be recalculated in order to be consistent with your code. Okay?
Thank you. Mr. Bunker, do you have anything else?
So in that review, there's a number of these items that just need to be corrected on the engineering drawings, and then also finalizing the geotech review. And staff feels like it can be approved with condition that those items are addressed. Is there any other comments or questions?
Before we get into council debate, do you have anything else that you want to present, Mr. Bunker?
That's all I have.
I think it helps the council if we have the comments from the residents who came to speak to help you guys know what you want to talk about. So, Adrian Juchow, if you would like to come up and state your name and your address, then you've got 3 minutes to talk about this project.
Sure, I don't think I have any questions, really just maybe two comments. My name is Adrian Juchow. I live at 10207 Bay Hill Drive. And the one comment is, so I don't know all of the story behind my house, nor all the houses on my street, but as well, some of you know, I have 67 piers under my house. They did soils tests. They thought they did everything they needed to do to make sure everything would be okay, and they didn't do quite enough, and it's been quite a problem. So just hope that you're able to do not just the minimum, but all that's necessary to make sure that the homes are in good repair. And really, the other one, I guess, goes something like this. I'm probably the person who's most negatively impacted by this, and that's okay. I'm not going to say or do anything, but I look forward to serving on a committee with you this year. I find out that you're on that committee, getting to know you better. Hope that we can have some discussions just so I can learn more about what's going on and ask some questions, if that's okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for...
I've addressed this in Planning Commission, but we intend to be as... Well,
I should let my partner speak to this, but Dan is in the audience. But the whole issue on soils, obviously Hillside Project, we're aware of that. We're going to try to do everything we can to make sure that the builder, whether it's me or other builders, adheres to whatever the professionals recommend. That's what I can say.
I guess I'm not well versed on piers. What is a pier?
A pier is a something that's driven into the ground and then the foundation gets set on top of it. So
helical piers. Do you mind if I ask, was that put in before your house was built, or had it to be driven in after to make sure it didn't settle down?
After my house broke, it happened.
Okay.
So picture it as a gigantic screw with a 3-inch pipe and a great big screw bit put on the end of it.
Got it.
Driven into the soil by a very large piece of equipment.
I've seen it being driven, and now I understand what that means. Yes. Okay.
It's generally called a helical pier.
Okay.
Fairly common thing in Cedar Hills. Okay, would you like to come up and state your name and address, please?
My name is Michael Whitehead. Sorry. I live on 10218 Bay Hill Drive, neighbors with him. And we recently moved in, and actually one of the main reasons why we chose our house was because the trails that are right at the end of that cul-de-sac, and I heard that building this new subdivision or whatever it will be will close off those trails, and I just wanted to express how important it was to me that there was access from Bay Hill to those trails, because I don't know, I see a lot of members from the community using those to go running or jogging or four-wheeling or whatever, and I, again, you know, I like to go jogging, and I like to go not on pavement, I like to go on those trails up in the hills. So that was just one of the things. And then my other concern, but it sounds like everyone's addressing it, is because we're right there, you know, I was afraid of some landslide of some sort, but it sounds like everyone really cares about that. So those are just my concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehead. So I just want to make sure that I'm not missing anyone. Is there anyone else who came to speak on this particular item and I missed him? If yes? I said, if there's anyone else that wanted to come up and speak on this issue and I missed them, then come up now. If you'd like to come up, state your name and address, please, and then you've got up to 3 minutes.
Donna Lyle at 10233 Tamarack Way. I just have a question. Can we access on the internet this proposed subdivision that we can actually see? I'm a little late in getting back in the groove here. So if we knew what that was, that would be a real helpful problem.
Mr. Bunker, is it up on our website?
I'll check and make sure that it is. But it should be on www.cedarhills.org. Mm-hmm. And then it will take
just
you.
Just follow the prompts.
Donna, okay. We're neighbors. I'll send it to you.
Yes.
I'll just email it to you.
Okay, thanks.
Just questions. Yes, go right ahead.
Chris Cox, 10467 Sugarloaf. I just have questions, really. And I've listened to the Planning Commission minutes, so I mean, they're just follow-up questions, and a lot of it is just I'm inexperienced with the earth moving that's going to be required. So when these lots are, you know,
I want to interrupt you. This is not a time for a debate.
No, I'm not.
With the council, but so if you do have questions.
Oh, just wait.
Then, no, what I would recommend that you do is if you have a statement tonight, go ahead and make that. And then if you have questions, I would suggest you talk with Mr. Bunker or maybe Mrs. Reese, who's a neighbor up there.
Oh, okay.
And then they can report back. But really, the public comments is a time for you to give all of your thoughts.
Oh. Well, then, I think this is a great subdivision. I hope it happens. I don't have anything else. I just have lots of questions, so I'll just take your advice and talk to David or Jenny.
Or me.
Or Mike.
Or any of us.
Or any of us.
Rob, maybe? Why not?
I won't know a whole lot about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Now we have had presentation. It's time for the council to debate. So anyone have questions? Are you raising your hand? No, you're
sorry.
Okay. Mrs. Reese, are you wanting to say something?
I just wanted to add a couple of things that were discussed in Planning Commission. And I apologize. I went to the Planning Commission meeting, but then there was a special meeting that I wasn't able to attend. But Councilmember Zapala attended on my behalf. So maybe these things were addressed then. But a couple of things that were brought up in Planning Commission. Part of this development, they'll be required to add a sidewalk on their side of Canyon Road, and so they wanted the city to then finish the city's portion of the sidewalk up to the Bay Hill Trail, which goes in front of the city office. I know we talked about that in work session, so just so you were aware that the developer wanted that. There was some discussion about water rights. There was a concern expressed that the city was selling water rights to the developer, which then the developer would give back to the city, which then ends up a net zero instead of bringing additional water rights into the city. And then there was a discussion as well, as far as the access to the trails and such, our original plan showed Bay Hill going all the way through to Canyon Heights, I believe. Is that right?
No, Cedar Hills Drive.
Bay Hill was going to continue through to Cedar Hills Drive. That's right. And so that would all be developed, and it was Morgan that would go through to Canyon Heights. And it was determined that extending that was a problem because of the steep grade, and there was also crossing of an aqueduct that would need to occur, which has a special bridge that needs to happen, which is very expensive. So that original plan of extending Bay Hill through to Cedar Hills Drive didn't make a lot of sense. Those were my notes from Planning Commission that didn't get addressed, or didn't get discussed.
I just want to make a quick comment that I appreciate that the city did get an independent consultant to make sure that we are covering our bases legally, as well as making sure that we're covering all the bases for this project. So I appreciate the city doing that.
Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Yeah, so I guess I have a question for David, which is that, you know, hearing about it today, it sounds like land movement is a really major concern for this project. We have an outstanding geotechnical report, which you haven't yet received. We have a number of recommendations that were just given to us today. And so I'm wondering whether it would be prudent for us to just table this for now, re-examine it in 2 weeks, and have staff make sure they write up in detail all of these concerns and how they're addressed. I feel like right now there's a lot of unaddressed concerns. I'm feeling a little bit nervous about moving forward right now.
I think there are a number of items that are being reviewed still. Our sense is that they are items that can be corrected or mitigated, and that there needs to be at a minimum, in the motion, if the council were to recommend or give approval, that it would be contingent upon complying with those reports and those recommendations, and correcting any engineering items that Mark Johnson and his group have identified. So that would be the minimum. Could it be tabled and some of these items be brought back? Absolutely, we could do that as well. I don't think there's anything on there that's that would preclude the city council from going ahead and doing that, but with the caveat that they correct any items that come back in those reports.
I just want to add to that. One of my concerns from listening to what was said was that that consultant specifically requested that any motion that was made tonight include that letter that they sent, and I'm uncomfortable making a motion to include something that we haven't even seen.
That's my concern. I'd like to especially see how these concerns are all going to be addressed. Are they going to recommend certain mitigating factors in certain lots? And I just want to make sure it's done right. We've had problems with land movement in our city before, and I'm hesitant to move without seeing those addressed and seeing how they're actually going to move forward with them.
Okay. Here.
Come forward. This is Dan Wilson with the development project.
A couple things that were said, I just want to correct as far as, I don't know if I misheard or whatnot, but one of your concerns was that you hadn't seen the geotech, but we've had the geotech for like 3 months now, and the city's had it for 3 months. So, and we presented to the Planning Commission 4 times instead of 2 times already. So we have, you know, I think because of Mike's involvement, we've been scrutinized, which I welcome. We want to be everything above board. But the idea that we haven't really addressed a lot of these things is, I don't think, is quite accurate. And I believe, you know, like I said, we went through concept twice with Planning Commission, and we went through preliminary twice with the Planning Commission, even though we're supposed to only go through once because of things that, little things that need to be readdressed. And some of these things that the consultant came up with, we have been addressing for a month now. And Dave Bunker can attest to this, many, many meetings with the city engineer. And so, yes, there are some things left, like Dave Bunker saying, that need to be addressed, but we've been addressing. And the truth is we're under the gun because the county has taken over, if you don't know already, has taken over Canyon Road from UDOT, and they plan to pave it in April, they told us, and they're going to put a moratorium on it after that where you can't cut into the asphalt. If we don't get our sewer in before then, we could be 4 years before we can touch this thing, and it would be a disaster for us. I know that, you know, it's not meant to pressure a vote that shouldn't happen, but I'm using that as icing on the cake of my argument, and that is we have made our case for all these big and little issues that have come up over and over, whether it's geocheck, whether it's moving a lateral here or there, whether it's a retaining wall. I've met with Chandler and talked to Chandler more times than I can count, and with Dave Bunker as well. And so we feel like we've addressed most, if not all, of the big issues, and most, if not all, the small issues. And there's still a few smaller things, yes, that have to be done. But we would be happy to have this approved on a contingency basis. No offense or anything, but we have
none taken. Yeah. I just want to clarify. When we said we hadn't seen the report, we weren't referring to the original geotech report.
Yeah.
We're referring to the review of the geotechnical report, which is still outstanding, and the review that was presented tonight indicating that there was a letter given to the city just today, and we haven't seen that either. So those are the two items referring to that we haven't seen.
I haven't seen that letter either, and we had an original letter from Mustang that we went over several times. That's what kind of I was referring to. So they found a couple new things, but we have already addressed their key concerns as we see them, and now they've got a few more. As far as the review of the geotech, again, this is kind of a sore subject with me a little bit because, you know, the city code requires that our plans get reviewed by the city, which is what Mr. Johnson has done. The geotech, there's nothing in there saying, we paid $7,000 to have a geotech done, and I've met with four geologists. I've met with our own resident geologist who's on the Planning Commission, Craig Clements, three or four times up there, going over the geology of the site. I was very, concerned, apprehensive about buying the property until I knew geotech-wise that this was not something that's going to be a liability on me, because I planned to, one, build my house up there, two, I don't want this to come back to haunt me. So I met with numerous geologists. I met with several different geotech companies. I met with Craig Clement, who is in the geotech business and is also a geologist. So the review, yes, it hasn't happened yet, but we feel like we paid a very reputable geotech company in Earth Science to do a geotech, and that should have been sufficient. In all honesty, that's my point of view. Things have been referred to saying that in the executive summary were not addressed later on. In Section 9 and 9.4, I believe those concerns were addressed as far as how to mitigate some of the possibility of slope movement. But anyway, we were actually very excited after we got the geotech back because, in Cedar Hills, as many of you probably know, we've got on the 6 o'clock news a couple times for Sage Vista and whatnot, and that was because of the nature of the soil up there and because it was an ancient landslide, it was a recent landslide in 1980. It had moved, and there was a certain type of soil that's very kind of oily called Manning Canyon Shale, and we were concerned that there would be more Manning Canyon Shale on our property, and after having several geologists and having a 45-foot core drilled into the section that we were most concerned about, and then seven other samplings and having soil samplings and we went above and over, we believe, already to make sure to document that geotech concerns were addressed. Obviously, we have to follow the recommendations of the city engineer and whatnot to have it reviewed, but we feel like the review is an insurance policy, which is fine, but it's an insurance policy. We feel like we've already done our due diligence on the geotech, and we've established our case there. Anyway, back to the worry about earth movement and, Sage Vista and that nightmare coming back to revisit us. There was zero Manning Canyon shale found in any of the area that we're concerned about. In fact, the geotech guy, Caleb at EarthTech, was surprised at the nature of the soil, that he found so much lime in it that it was like concrete. That piece that we're most worried about turned out to be one of the most rock-solid pieces on our property, even though the alluvial stuff below the aqueduct is superb. It's the same stuff your city building's built on. It's that alluvial gravel that's just very, very good soil. And so we were very relieved to get that. I didn't even buy the property until I knew these things were true. So you guys don't have nearly as much at stake as I do personally, even though I realize you guys are more in the public view than I'm going to be if there's an error made. But if there's an error made in this, I'm personally going to suffer more than anybody. So I made darn sure that this was geotech-wise and geologically a sound piece of property before I bought it. And now afterwards, I feel like we've made our case, and I feel like having it approved on a contingency is reasonable. Having it delayed even more after we were delayed twice because of technical errors in on the agenda, and now we're right up against the gun on this county paving thing that could sink us. If we miss this by a week and they pave and we miss it, we don't get approval and we can't get our sewer in, I may have to wait 4 years to get my sewer in there, and the whole thing's pretty much shut down. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I know to your address. Issues.
Okay, so David, I really want to clarify this. I've never heard of the city putting a moratorium on cutting the pavement before.
Not the city.
The county, excuse me. Yeah. So can we have any push there? Can we push back on the county on that?
Yeah, we can, and I've actually talked to the county about their paving schedule, and they're saying it absolutely will not happen before June 1st, and it could be delayed longer than that.
Which is a relief to me, but
that's the latest discussion I've had with the county engineer. Said June 1st at the very earliest.
Well, let's imagine it does happen June 1st. Are they really going to say no one's allowed to cut into it for 4 years?
They want to be pretty tight on that. Yeah, they would like to put that moratorium on and not cut the road.
Because the problem when you cut a road like that,
what happens if someone else comes along?
Then they will ask them to wait.
That doesn't seem fair.
Right. Well, the state does the same thing, though.
State does the same thing. Any roads like that, they don't want you to cut into it because then there's a greater chance that the road will fail, and the subbase underneath it, if it gets water into it, is going to have problems.
If it's June, we should be okay, but they told us April. We met with them officially, blah, blah, blah. I had not heard the June date. They told us in a meeting April, but June will be good.
So I guess you said that your geotech report was submitted 3 months ago. Did it take Arkansas?
The original, not he's concerned about
your original. No, your original. So did it take our consultant 3 months to review it, or did we?
No, the geotech. I can look and see when we got the geotech 3 months ago. Does not seem accurate yet. But we did get an addendum to your geotechnical study literally Friday night. Addendum, and so I barely saw this.
And that was because the city was requesting things from geotech. I never saw that.
And I guess my point to that is when the city has questions, which we should question, if there's an issue, that we should have the right to further investigate.
We
should have the right to get somebody who is qualified in this specific field, especially considering the sensitivity of this land.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing you. I was just personally felt like we were getting scrutinized, which, again, is probably the way it should be done. So I'm fine with it. I'm just trying to make my case that we were not trying to avoid geotech responsibility here.
I don't think that you're being scrutinized because Councilmember Geddes is a partner here. I think that anybody building on that side would be receiving the same scrutiny just because of the issues we've faced. I mean, Mr. Dushaw is a prime example on Bay Hill where, and I live on his street, his house broke in half. And so we just want to make sure that those things don't happen again. And we've had issues in the city where developers have built and then the developer declares bankruptcy and leaves, and we're still on the hook even though the developer's gone. So that's, I think any builder on that side of the road, when these kinds of concerns are listed, we would be scrutinizing like this.
Well, I don't mean to sound defensive. Whether it was intentional or not, we have been scrutinized because we've gone through double the amount of planning commission meetings being scrutinized, whether it was planned or not.
Right.
It's kind of here or there, but I don't mean to sound defensive, but whether it was meant to be or not, we've been well scrutinized, let me put it that way.
But given our history in the city, I mean, you probably should have double or triple the scrutiny of any other project just because of the history we've had. And it doesn't go against you guys at all, but it's any developer that was coming in to build anything in that area, we would require the same thing of them that we would require of you.
Oh, it's to my benefit to be scrutinized. Like I said earlier, you know, I welcome the scrutiny. I'm just, you know, establish the scrutiny is what I'm doing.
Right. So can I clarify with David just a couple of things? So this is just preliminary right now. So all of these items, if we ask the city go out and retain a geotech different from the one that was already used, just to review the report, to make sure that we haven't missed anything, just dot all the I's, cross the T's, all of that would be done before the final is actually submitted. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that would be at the city's behalf. That wouldn't be at the developer's behalf, right?
Yeah, that would be our request to this, to a subconsultant, to an engineering firm. So it would be the city approaching somebody to do a peer review on the EarthTech report. So the developer has hired their own geotech company.
Right.
As a city, we're selecting somebody else to take that geotech report and review that.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I was getting at, is that we're not going out and hiring a separate geotech to go out and do their study and take another 3 months or 4 months and go drill a whole bunch of holes or anything like that.
No.
It's just for them to go out, review the report, make sure that everything was in place, that they followed the proper procedures, that the standard practices for geotechnical engineering were followed, just to make sure that all the processes were hit and that there was nothing that was missed in the report.
Right, and if just there's any questions in the original report from EarthTech, that those questions are addressed, and we may need EarthTech to go back to their report and update it. We already have one addendum here. It may take another addendum. It may not take any additional review issues with their original report or this first addendum. But what we're saying is we would like to have a peer review of somebody who is a geomechanical engineer look at this geologic report and give us a synopsis of that.
And that would have to be completed and submitted back to the city before the final submission for this development.
Yes. So what we're suggesting is that if a preliminary approval is granted, that it's contingent on the recommendations from that review.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Council, you got any more comments, thoughts, questions on this item?
Mayor, could Mr. Johnson say a few more things here?
Just in brief, I'd like to make clear, we're familiar with this geotech company. I've used them many times before in the past. They do a good job. There's not any issues we really take in regards to this report. It offers some very good suggestions. As I said, I think we need to make sure, or you need to make sure as a city, that the suggestions of how the material is handled is educated into the system somehow so it gets used. But I want to read to you the one statement of concern. And when my engineer ran into this, he said, "Come here, you need to look at this." And it is frustrating that this statement is in there. It says, "The potential of a mass movement appears to pose a risk to the property and the proposed development." That's it. Once we identified that comment, we realized we had a concern, you had a concern, because then you have a liability risk. And the only way we could think to resolve this is this one particular issue is to get a geomechanical or another specialist in the field to look at this statement, go up there specifically on site and find out, is this really a risk to the city? That's all.
Thank you. And then if it is a risk, how is it addressed typically?
Well, that's going to be up to him.
Do you say no development, or do you say peers?
Well, I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know that he's going to say no to development. He may have some additional comments on how to manage the fill materials and the cuts. I really don't know, and I don't have the answer to that. That's why I suggested strongly to Dave when we found this that they bring somebody in who is a specialist in this field. But it's all, our assessment was just liabilities.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. are you wanting to say something? Quickly.
I think that if you were to examine any geotech report on the hillside along here or pretty much anywhere in Utah, you're going to have that boilerplate disclaimer in there that there's a possibility, there's a risk on the hillside. Any one of these houses, you can ask Craig Clements and your own planning commission, every single house along the bench here is at risk of movement. My own house where I lived for 10 years was at risk for movement. Everything in Cedars, everything in Canyon Heights where I currently live, it's all at risk because 50 million years ago, during the Pleistocene era, that entire Mahogany Mountain, half of it slid down and settled and luckily hasn't moved in 50 million years except for Sage Vista. But anyway, point being is that all of Cedar Hills on the east side of Canyon Road is at risk.
So, Dan, let me just answer that on my own personal perspective. You said it perfectly. It is a risk. And so we have to take that as a literal and valid risk. So we have to do everything as a council to make sure that we mitigate that and make sure that we do our research, that we do our checking, that we confirm it, that we double check it and confirm it again to make sure that our residents are protected. Because, like you said, if something happens, guess who it comes back on? Well, it comes back on you, but it also comes back on us. So we share in the liability for that. And as you've seen in the past, I mean, it has been a problem. And so we definitely have to make sure that we're trying to mitigate that risk and making sure that we're protecting the residents, because that's our primary responsibility, is to protect the residents, not you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if it was me and King and Sheila, I would say no houses. Those houses, as we all know, should have been built in front of, on Sage Vista, in front of that 1980 landslide, Manning Canyon Shale. And, you know, there's always going to be a certain amount of risk, but it's, right. It's how much risk you should take or shouldn't take.
Yeah, but we had other developers that have said things similar to that, but we've seen how that's turned out too. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Any other questions? Comments? Anybody down here? Mr. Crowley, you want to say anything?
Better safe than sorry.
Thank you for being quiet. Are you wanting to say anything?
I'll just make a motion when you're ready.
I'm ready. Unless you guys, are you guys want to say anything?
I'm curious to hear Trent's motion.
Okay. Go ahead.
I figured you would be. All right. I would motion to approve the preliminary plans for the Lakeview Trails subdivision with the following qualifications. And bear with me for a minute because this may get a little twisted. And it may take me a minute to get everything together. All right. So the following qualifications would be that prior to final submission for the Lakeview Trails subdivision, that the city, with the review of the city engineer, retain a separate geotechnical engineer to review specifically the mass movement and the potential that the mass earth movement could present in the Lakeview Trails subdivision. We would also ask that the geotechnical engineer review all letters according to Earth Tech Engineering and Mustang Engineering and do a peer-to-peer review to make sure that all processes and procedures have been met and verified, that all proposed mass earth movement that present any type of risk be reviewed for liability to the city, and that any additional details as seen by the city manager are presented prior to final review and submission, that the stormwater report be updated with the correct rainfall intensity chart, and it's the one provided and accepted by the city. Any fill material brought in at specified depths be documented both in the drawings and details of the plans, but also in the development agreement with the developer. We would also reference back to item number 10 in the report from Mustang Engineering and to verify that the depths and compaction requirements are met according to the geotechnical engineers, that all retained wall and saturated soil materials be confirmed and reviewed by a separate independent geotechnical engineer, that an independent structural engineer be retained by the city to review and document all saturated all retaining wall and saturated soils,
that all utilities be drawn and shown to be extended to the property boundaries for the entire subdivision, that a clarification be made at the end of Bay Hill to show who maintains and improves the unimproved lot and who is responsible for this improvement. The utility easements and sewer water easements be drawn according to the requirements set forth by the city engineer, that the letter be incorporated from Mustang Engineering showing that a 15-foot wide utility easement setback be described in detail within the plans prior to final submission, that the density for the net total area be recalculated for all areas within the subdivision, and that the streets be removed from the calculation, then the calculation be updated in the plans submitted prior to final submission.
Okay, let me ask you a question before we get a second.
He's still going.
Hold on 1 second.
You're still going?
I wanted to review one other thing, just a second. And then, in addition, that all zoning, engineering, conveyance of water rights, verification of the metro water easement, and completion of a review of all geotechnical reports be submitted to the city manager and city engineer prior to any final submission. I think that takes care of it.
Okay. So you're asking for a separate geotech survey, right?
No, not a survey. I'm asking for a peer-to-peer review.
So what's
so separate than a survey.
What's the cost of something like that?
We would have to go out and find out. David probably has a better idea.
Give me an idea.
Based on his knowledge.
We've engaged a company to start that, and that would be a cost borne by the development.
Not by the city.
Not by the city.
Okay, motion has been made.
Okay, can I clarify one thing with that question then? So the cost would be borne by the developer, but the actual company would be chosen by the city. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I will second, and then I have a question to clarify.
Sure. Now's the time.
One of the things that was brought up, Trent, was talking about how the cul-de-sac at the end of Bay Hill has a couple of issues with it. One, there's an unimproved lot, I think, that's going to remain there. And so are we making sure that that curb and gutter is finished off there? Is that part of what we're asking to have
that
happen?
That was part of what I would like detailed and drawings submitted as to how that is going to be maintained and what is done to improve that area.
Okay. And then the second...
According to Mustang Engineering, there is.
It's prior to the cul-de-sac. It's on the east side of Bay Hill. It's not on our property. It's not on this development. It's city property. So the question is how the city does that. Does that make sense? It's the lot just prior to the cul-de-sac. On the east side of Bay Hill before it terminates.
Okay.
There's a temporary cul-de-sac there.
So if that's the case, then I think it would be very easy to have civil science go back and just detail that out and say this is Cedar Hill's property, and then we would have to come up with a letter or some type of documentation showing how we would maintain that or what would we do to improve that area.
And I think the issue here is don't we want the sidewalk to be continuous there so it's not just left broken up?
Right, and that's what would have to be detailed out.
Okay.
Yeah, and to make sure that the engineering includes the design to put that curb gutter sidewalk in.
Right.
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and then my other question on that, it's a similar issue. Mm-hmm. One of the residents spoke to trail access in that area. And so are we just saying that trail access is going to go through Bay Hill Park, or would we like to see some modification of the plans to provide continued trail access in the area?
So my understanding was that the trail access that they're talking about, and I could be incorrect, I was just going through what I thought he was describing, is that the trail access is what goes right off the end of Bay Hill and down off the hill, is that right?
Yeah, which isn't really a trail.
Yeah, so to me, I can't count that as a trail because it's a bunch of four-wheelers and trucks that created it. It wasn't anything that was designated as a trail. So as much as I hate to cut off access for somebody, it was never meant as a trail, therefore it really shouldn't be a trail.
But the trail is through Bay Hill. As we finish it, there'll be a nice access through there that they can clearly get access to.
I believe, yeah.
And you can see that on that drawing here,
right.
What that is.
Right.
But it's not off the city street.
No,
I mean, that should be curb and gutter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a motion that's been seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Yes.
Just a quick question. Do you have a copy of that geotech or that report that was just get read to us?
The copy of it?
Yeah.
No.
Those were great notes you took.
I typed really quickly as everybody was talking.
Yeah. Comment. With that many items and with the date being pushed back to June, wouldn't it make more sense just to make sure all this was done and then approve it next time? That's my comment. It seems like it would make more sense to wait 2 weeks with the deadline being moved out to June on the moratorium.
So
anyway,
let me see if I can answer that.
Okay. I would just say I do have to address a motion that has been seconded. So Mr. Colley, you do have and so is this more discussion going back and forth?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the reason I would say let's go ahead and move with it now is that just because this is preliminary doesn't mean we can't change things or deny things on final. This allows the developer to go through and start taking their next steps along with the city taking their actions.
Which next steps are those before we do the final approval? What kind of steps are those?
Everything that I just detailed out. All of that would have to come back before final.
And that's before they cut ground or anything?
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
And it goes to Planning Commission again for final review.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's still several checks and balances that have to happen before
thinking about equipment.
There's a lot of drawings, a lot of detail, a lot of engineering that still has to
happen. But this makes it so that they don't have to wait another 2 weeks to start making the next steps.
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else, Mr. Crowley?
Nope.
Okay. Anything from down here? I have a motion. It's been seconded. Let's have a vote. Mr. Crowley?
Aye.
Mr. Augustus?
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
Mr. Zapala?
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Next item, number 10. This is a discussion item only on our FY16 Capital Projects Fund. Charles, the time is yours.
I know it took a long time. I don't think you guys did do it. Also, it's been something I've already been talking to. And it sounds a little more technical.
That is the one.
No, actually, it wasn't.
Just
so you know.
Just because it sounded like true.
And a lot of it is just the city reviewing everything and making sure everything drives done.
Okay, we talked through this in the work session. You guys can stay early.
Everybody's gone.
You can leave, Chris, if you want.
No, I'm back early.
Let's go. Okay. I'll go through the whole thing then. We're talking about capital projects and the motor pool fund. So during our budget workshop, the elected people brought up some items that they wanted addressed during this next fiscal year, and so this is the list I have of items of interest related to the capital projects fund. If there's something I left off, we can add that. Some of these are funded in the capital projects fund. Some of these may be something that gets funded in a professional technical, or they don't cost anything at all because they're done by staff. But if the projects are done, they eventually will be funded in the capital projects fund. So I made a list here. You can go to the next. Capital projects. I don't see anyone else. Okay, Bay Hill Park, and those are the four different funding sources. The golf maintenance shed is funded with fund balance. The Harvey Boulevard traffic mitigation, that is a change from the Harvey Boulevard reconfiguration that was at $300,000. We've lowered the placeholder to $50,000 based on some of the discussions, but nothing's been finalized. The Canyon Road sidewalk project, that is contingent upon the project that was just discussed. Bay Hill Park, the amount's just a placeholder. Is there any questions that people have on any of these projects that they want to bring up now? Okay. Well, I think we can go to the, just keep going then, because we already talked about this. Keep going. Okay, the motor pool fund, there's three vehicles in this coming year being replaced, and the general fund, water, sewer fund are decreasing their funding, and the golf fund is increasing their funding based on the new maintenance equipment. Anything that you guys would like to discuss? We're going to talk about this also in the tentative budget and in the final budget. So if you can think of something before then, you can bring it up then.
Hey, Charles. I just wanted to say thanks. Sometimes you have the, I don't want to say mundane, but oftentimes yours is not the most exciting, but we thank you for all the work you put into it.
Sure.
I would just make a recommendation. You answered all of our questions during work session, so and I know maybe this is more for David or whoever puts the agenda together, but I guess the council can weigh in. In the future, when you're discussing these during work session, maybe we can have this discussion item as the first item on the agenda in council meeting, so you don't have to sit here for hours when you've already discussed everything.
Unless you enjoy it.
That's a very good idea.
Because we haven't had any other discussion. I mean, you answered everything during work session.
David and I to create the agendas, and I think that's a good idea.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay, thanks, Charles. Sure. Any other, this is a discussion item. You guys want to talk this about more, or did we talk about it enough during work session?
I thought we talked about it a lot during work session.
I mean,
it's going to come up when we actually start getting bids and start going through the different projects.
Okay.
I move that we adjourn.
What's that?
I move that we adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn.
I'll second. Or third.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
I am so ready to go home. I still have to get back to work.
Today?
Yes.